Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2014. Lecture 23, delivered on April 17, 2014. The title of this lecture is Cash Management.
Today, cash management. Last of the lectures on new material. Next week, we will be doing the review on Tuesday and testing on Thursday. And this is actually a nice place to finish off the course, too, because this is the last of the major basic finance concepts, is how do we manage the cash that is in a company? Money is coming in all the time, and money is flowing out all the time. This is especially true with many of the businesses in this country that are retailers. There's money coming into the drawer every day, and then you have to pay money out pretty much every day. What do you do with that money? What do you do with money?
Put it in the bank.
You don't spend it?
No.
Not any of it? No noms? Well, yeah, obda. See, there's the thing, though, is if I've got money in my hand, that means that I've got it when I need it. If I put it in the bank, I might earn a little money on it in an account, but at the same time, it's not there if I have to get my paws on it. Another thing about it is if I put it in the bank, especially if you're a business. Now, I might be able to get it out pretty quickly, but there would be a transactions cost to it. So I've got this sort of balancing act. I need to have some cash on hand for emergencies or whatever. That would be my lower cash limit. We'll call that L, lower cash limit. Now, how much that is really a matter of judgment. In a company, that's not a mathematical thing so much as it is what is the minimum that you're going to need in your paws that you could get your hands on within a couple of minutes or an hour that's cash money. Maybe $50, a grand, $5,000. Depends on the size of your business, what kind of business you do. And you also might find that petty cash. Like, for example, when I was running a school in Columbus, I had a petty cash fund, and a lot of it was just, okay, someone needs to run to the store and grab a few supplies. Well, I don't want to cut a check for that. Or someone wants just, for a Friday, well, why don't you go and get something, a couple of pizzas for all the teachers at the school and so we can have something to eat? Or just, okay, we've got a bill. It's got to be paid right now. The guy's here at the door. You got to have some money. So the cash balance there, that petty cash drawer had, if I'm remembering right, we had like $75 in literally physical cash in a drawer. And that's sort of the same idea for emergencies and all that. There is a lower limit. It's not zero. Well, maybe some companies do have it as zero. But then you got the other side of it. H is an upper cash limit. Now, there's the one that is a mathematical thing. Before I go too far into this, I want to give you an account, and I don't know, I think I mentioned this earlier in the course, but there's a kind of account a bank can put together for a company. The first time I saw a small business using it was around 1988. There was a small insurance company in Dayton. It was a personal lines insurance company. It did a little commercial too. And the owner of that business, God, I can't even remember his name now. He had actually gotten a bank that was with a bank that was doing sweeps for small businesses. Sweeps had been around for a long time, but they were for large businesses, big entities, enterprises. Now, here's how a sweep works. You are going to need money available to you during the day for going to the bank, grabbing some money out of the bank, for checks that are clearing during the day. But after the day is over, and that money really doesn't earn anything, but after closing hours, after about 5:30, until the next morning, maybe about 7:30, that cash just sits there in the account doing nothing, earning nothing, just sitting there waiting for you to pay attention to it the next day. The way a sweep works, and these were for huge corporations and rich families and all that for a long, long time, was that as the day closed, business day closed, it's 4:30, that money that was in your account and in all of the other accounts in that time zone would suddenly disappear from the account. It was going somewhere, and people knew it was disappearing. Where it was going was into this vast global pool of dollars that would be available to the global investment community, to traders, to commodities traders, to gold traders, to other companies overseas. It was just part of a huge pool. And as the world moved around, the sun was setting across the world and coming back up across the world, this flow of cash would be coming up from the accounts that were going into the dark times of that time zone. And then as the sun would rise, that money would flow back into those accounts where the sun was coming up. And so it was being swept out of the accounts to add to this massive pool and then swept back in at the time when the company would need it again. So at any given time, the world would have this big monster pool of liquidity just for things that needed to be done around the world. And at any given time, there would be money flowing in and there would be money flowing out from the other side of the world. You got the idea of how a sweep works? And again, they had been around for ages for big companies and rich, rich people. And then about in the end of the 1980s, they started getting, some banks started making them available to small businesses. Because if you take the aggregate amount of money from all the small businesses in a time zone or in a country, you're talking about a big amount of money that was just sitting there doing nothing for many, many years. And so they joined into the sweeps. And so there was money being made off these things. It wasn't a huge amount of money. But over a period of time, if you were having this done, if you had an average cash balance in your checking account at the end of every day, let's say it was about $10,000. Over a period of a year, as that money went in and came back out, earning money for maybe about, let's say about 16 hours a day, it actually added up to a nice amount of extra money that the company was making that it wouldn't have made otherwise. So that's the idea of a sweep. It's a kind of an account. It's still probably, actually, to be honest with you, your money in your accounts is in sweeps. You're just not making anything off it. The banks aren't going to just sit there with your cash. If you got cash in the bank, high liquidity instruments, they're going to be sweeping them out and they'll make the money off it themselves, but not for you. You'd have to get real rich before you could join into the fun on that. Okay. What's the upper limit? What are the drivers? Let me draw you a picture here. Okay, this is, let's say this is time. This is your lower limit, and this is, let's say, your upper limit. Now, they don't have to be symmetric necessarily, but it looks like they are here. So, if I were to, say, draw a picture of your day-to-day cash balance, it would look sort of like this. There would be days when it would be below, and then there would be days when it was above. Oh, look, it hit its lower limit right there. Okay, that would have to cause a trigger. Whatever that number is, 1,000, 5,000, you would want to bring that up to this place right here, which is called the target. Your target ideal cash balance. It might not be the mean of those two upper and lowers, but it's where you want it to be. And we're going to talk about how you calculate that in a minute. But if you hit the target, you instantly trigger an infusion of money from other investments. Get that money into the cash balance. Okay, well, it got there, and the cash balance moved on its way. Oh, it went down again. Oh, okay, now it's recovering. Little drops up and down. Uh-oh. Hit the upper balance, upper one. That would be your maximum on the upside, the maximum on the upside. In a case like that, okay, we have got too much cash. We're wasting investment opportunity. So that would cause a trigger that would throw some of that cash into heavier investments, longer-term stuff, and push us down again to the target. And then we would move from there through time. So there would be triggers, and they are actually in the computer systems of companies now. They are actually, the formula I'm about to give you, and I won't motivate the formula, I just say, here's the formula. This thing was developed, okay, this is 2014, that would have been 36, 46, 50 years ago, this formula, the formula I'm about to show you, was created. It was a mathematical idea by a couple of geniuses of the day. Their names show up in other important formulas, too. One of them was a guy named Miller, Modigliani Miller, Miller Merton. He was a hotshot from early in his PhD career. And then another guy named Orr was the other guy. They actually developed a model so that we can tell what is the upper limit. Management has to decide the lower limit itself. That's the management's problem. But once you have this lower limit, you know the variance of your cash balance, and you know what your return on good investments is. And you also know the transactions cost that's going to be involved in moving money in and out of these of the cash. You know those things, you can actually calculate what your target is, and you can calculate what your upper is. So without further ado, I got to be careful because the book uses two variables that I don't. So I'm going to use the books if I can. They note them this way. I use a sigma squared and they don't. So I'm going to write the book's formula for you so that I don't make my mistake of doing my own. Okay. This is the target cash balance. That line there in the middle. Target cash. And this formula, I mentioned 50 years ago, this formula is in the computers of the Treasury Departments of pretty much every major corporation. It's just like, okay, we hit the Z. Target is called Z. The target, we hit the target, so now you got to get rid of, we hit an upper limit, so we got to disgorge enough to get back to the target. Or we hit the lower limit, we got to add enough money to the cash balances to get back up to it. Now, Z is the cube root. The cube root, and again, this is where I have to watch. The book uses a formula, variables that I don't. Okay. Z, yeah, the target. Yeah, that's where I know I'm going to make a mistake here if I don't write it this way. Yep. Okay. 3 times TC times V over, and V is the one that I always write as sigma squared, 4 times R. The TC is how much it costs you to shuttle money in and out of your bank account, of your cash account, transaction cost. typically that's going to be on the order of maybe $20. That's a normal amount to get money in or out. V, and this is one, if you see me write a sigma squared, it's V, if I accidentally do the sigma squared here. V is the daily variance in actual cash balances, in cash. Now what you'll do is you will have, and here I'm deliberately writing sigma squared. This would be your annual variation. And then you just divide it by 365. In other words, you just do it like you did in a stats class. You calculate the variance over a year, and then you divide it by 365 to get that one. I think that's the only one that I usually make a mistake on. Huh? This one? Here? Oh, I'm sorry, that's sigma squared over 365. In other words, this is your annual variation in cash. Annual variance in cash. See, because calculating daily variance, you're not going to do that. You're going to calculate over a year the variance ups and downs by what you learn in a statistics class. You know, day-to-day variance and your data points, and then you do N minus 1 and all that kind of stuff. This is the annual cash variance, which is what you would actually calculate on a calculator. And then you just divide that by 365 to get the daily variance. Follow with me on, I'll show you an example. I wrote out an example here. Okay, and I know I'm going to write something wrong here. It's not the formula wrong, but I'm going to write a variable that's not the one you see in the book. Okay, this is your return on investment. In other words, this is the opportunity cost of holding cash. Actually, that is what I use, R. Usually they use Ks for ROIs in the book anymore, but one way or the other. So, now, your upper cash limit, that's your target. Your upper cash is going to be 3Z minus 2L. And of course, remember, lower cash is the one that management decides. So watch how the formula works. You'll see it actually works. God knows how it works, but it works. Watch. I'm going to take one like this. Okay. We keep no less than $1,000 in cash. That's our lower limit. In other words, that's the L right there. Follow on that? It costs $20 per transaction to move cash. In other words, you go to the ATM machine, it's going to cost you $20. And that might seem a little unrealistic, but when we're talking about large companies and their actual physical pulling of cash out or pushing cash in from other investments, that's how much it's going to cost. That's $20 is not that unusual. Okay. Now, that would be your TC. You follow it? That would be your transaction cost. All you do is need to know where to put each of the numbers in this formula.
Let me see. I wrote down some few other things. I wrote this problem out. Okay.
Daily variance in cash balances is $20,000. In other words, that's sort of like a measure. The square root of that would be the standard deviation of cash balances. Average ROI for investments, let's take that at 5%. Now that's an annual that we have to turn into a daily. Now let me rewrite the formula here for you. The target. It's going to be the cube root of 3 times TC times V over, let me make sure that I do this, 4 times R. Now here we go. The target cash balance is going to be the cube root of 3 times $20 per transaction times, let you catch up here, $20,000 over This is plus the lower limit. I forgot. You got to add the lower limit. Jeez. Over four times 0.05 over 360. No. That's what I was afraid I was going to do. I use 360. Book uses 365. Use 365. I always still do the 360. Plus your lower limit of $1,000. That will tell you the target. Pull your calculator out and see if you get the number that I got. Yeah. H is the upper limit. Oh, yeah.
So are you,
like,
you use the variable H and you also use U, so are they the same thing?
Oh, you're right. I did. Duh. I knew I was going to do it. See, I told you, I know I was going to do it. I'm trying to follow the book and I'm still using my own. Yeah, they are. Yeah. God. I was trying to be so careful to use only one set of labels, and yep, U and H are the same stupid thing. Unbelievable. Yes, U and H are the same. What'd you get for this number? You can also use the exponent 1/3, 0.3333, if you don't have a cube root on your calculator. What'd you get? I got $2,300. Is it rounded to $2,322.99?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked which one. $2,299? Okay. Yeah, $2,299. You should get that the target Z is $2,299. I've got $2,300 written down here, but I think it is $2,299. I calculated it out myself and I got $2,300 rounded, but I think it is $2,299. In other words, yeah.
How did you set up
the cube root? Let me see your calculator. You should, probably the easiest way is just say exponent 0.33333.
Put everything to the exponent.
Yeah, because does the TI even have a... you have to do the math button. So it's actually easier to just say exponent, parenthesis 1 divided by 3, close parenthesis. It's easier to do it that way. In other words, this, you trap this whole mother, or this whole thing right here in parentheses, and then you say hat, 1 divided by 3. That's probably going to be the easiest way to do it. It's one of the very few places you see a cube root in a business formula. And if you remember cube root, cubic functions from some math course, they have that look like that. That's the idea of the cash balances. It swings up and down. And that's why that cube root is there, the inverse function of the cubic function. Okay, so now you've got the target. We ideally want our cash to be floating around $22.99. So now we can do the upper limit, H. Yeah, I did use the U. I sure did. Yes, yes. $22.99. It is $22.99, isn't it? $2,300, yeah. Okay. The vote is against you. You're wrong.
I just threw it in the calculator. I just got before I added 1,000, I had 129. I just added 1,000.
And then you add 1,000.
I have 1,000.
Then you have 1,000?
I didn't have, yeah. I have 1,129 after adding 1,000.
Let me see it. Give it to me. I hate it. Oh, la-di-da, you got one of these fancy things. Let me go back up here. I think there's your problem right there. Hang on. Second entry. Come on. Yeah, like I could do these. I usually get these wrong myself. Okay, so the upper limit, H or U in my terminology, 3Z minus 2L. 3Z minus 2L. So the H would come out to be, survey says... What do you get? It would be 3 times 22.99 less 2 times 1,000. $4,897. So in other words, you at $4,897 in cash, you start getting rid of cash and putting it into longer-term investments. You scoop out whatever is there above that H and you throw it into something big. And then, of course, the lower limit was what management decided was $1,000. So in other words, when you hit... $4,897, you move $4,897 minus $2,299 into something longer term, like your investments, into your investment money pool, into your capital pool. Into your long-term investments or your capital pool. When you hit your lower bound, $1,000, you move $2,299 minus $1,000 into cash accounts. So in other words, drawing this like this, here's your target, $2,299. Here's your lower limit, $1,000. Here's your upper limit, which is $48.97. Okay? Your cash is floating all over the place, down and up from day to day. Okay? It hit. Your cash balance hits $48.97. At that point, what you do is you scoop out. What's $48.97 minus $22.99? Did I write that one down? $25.98? Okay, thank you. It looks like I didn't do that calculation. You move $22.98. Is that right? $25.98. Out of cash into long term. You get rid of that much that is in the cash accounts to bring you back down to the target. Okay, that just instantly drops you back down to the target. So then your cash starts to fluctuate again, up and down, up and down. And then you hit $1,000 on a day where there was a lot of cash used. At that point, what you do is you add $1,299 into cash from longer term investments. And remember, there's $20 transaction fee every time you do this either way. So in other words, this is what the computers do now. Humans don't even think about this. There's just computers that are always keeping an eye on your cash balances. And if the cash balance swells, in this case, when the cash balance went up to $48.97, there was just an instant trigger. Get cash out of cash, put it into the long-term capital stuff, capital accounts, get it out, and then the amount you get out is $25.98. That instantly drops the cash balance down to the target, down to that Z. And then everything floats along, and the machines keep an eye on it. And then all of a sudden, you've got a few down days. You hit your minimum balance. Well, you're at your minimum balance. The computer will just immediately go back and push enough cash from bigger accounts back into the cash account to put you back on the target. So you're always sort of like rattling back and forth. Most of the time you're floating between the two limits, but if you ever hit one of the limits, just boom, it drops right back down to the cash level. Or if you go to the lower limit, just all of a sudden there's money that the automated system just push money back into the system. But yeah, so this is the H, and of course, as I thought I was going to do, I called that the upper limit, U, and I actually managed to say L for that one. That's your lower limit, L. And again, it's just a straight-up formula. You just calculate it out, and it will stay that way. Now, interestingly enough, one last thing about this. The factors. And it's just a quick little thing here. Your cash that you, your ideal targets, all of that. You notice what's going on in the formula. How much variation there is from day to day in cash. That was the V. In other words, if you are in a business where there is, some days there's lots of customers pushing money in, other days it's just dead in your store, that V is going to be a larger number. That V is going to be a larger number. And so what that means is that your, if you look at the formula, that would mean that your ideal target would be higher. More volatility from day to day means that your ideal place target is going to be higher. And, of course, that means that your upper limit is going to be higher as well. So, think about it this way. If you are a retailer, you're going to have a daily cash variance, and you sell basic goods and services. Basic goods. You're going to have probably about the same number of customers from one day to the next. Maybe more on weekends than on during the weekdays. But it's going to be a fairly, there's not going to be a lot of wild swings up and down in your cash from day to day. At the end of the day, the drawer is going to look about the same. But if you are in a business that is seasonal, you're going to have, during some seasons, just dead. Your cash drawer is going to look really sad. And then on other days, you're going to have your cash drawer just swimming with cash. That means that in those kinds of seasonal businesses, the V would be higher than it would be in a simple retail, small convenience store. So that would mean that your target cash would be higher. Now, think about one of the things that you have. There are many places where the restaurants live in the area. They have their regular customers, but they have this unpredictable component. I'll tell you exactly how it works. Well, I used to work years and years ago when I was still in high school and shortly after. I worked at an all-night diner, just dead as a doornail most of the time. You know, you had the cook, you had a busser, you had a waitress and a cashier hostess. And there was one word that just brought fear to our hearts, an absolutely terrifying word. You know what it was? Bus. Happy hour. Yeah. No, that then people actually got drunk and they tipped you. Bus. Bus! The old waitress would look there at the window. And then she'd go and try to get the clothes sign up before they got to the door. Maggie, no, we need it. Yeah, it's, oh, well, shit. But you had that just dead, and then all of a sudden, all kinds of excitement, and then dead again for 2 weeks, and then there it was again. Or you have the restaurants that are near places, towns that have a couple of times a year when they have like festivals. Those restaurants have a very stable cash flow day to day to day, and then all of a sudden they have big, huge swings upward during the festival times, and then they go back down to dead again. That would be a place where you would see higher variance. Now, another thing. The transactions cost. How much it costs you to move your money in. A lot of banks that service provide commercial accounts do their best to, they compete with each other to try to bring these down. I just got a commercial account for my company, and they actually, the cash movement from a long-term thing into cash balance that I could use pull out in physical cash is only about $8. But it's interestingly enough, it's higher the larger the company is. So for a small company, they have a very attractive plan. Businesses say, okay, how much do you charge? $25? Well, let me check around, see. And you actually shop for this transaction cost. Another one is this. Obviously, this is a biggie, is your return on investments. Notice what that means. If you look at the formula, do you see how as your average ROI on your investments, long-term capital investments, as that goes up, that will actually suppress the target cash amount because it's creating a higher opportunity cost for holding cash. You see that? This is in the denominator. So in other words, as your ROI on your real investments goes up, you're going to want to hold less cash on hand because cash on hand isn't in your projects. So the ROI, as if you're a company that is in a very young phase and the ROI's eyes are very high, or you're a risk-taking company, you have risky, high return on investment projects that are in your portfolio, you're probably going to have low cash balances because cash that you can get your hands on is cash that's not working in these big projects that you've got going on. So that would tend to indicate that a company that has really good investments going on, it takes a lot of risk, its ROI, let's say, would be 18%. Well, that's a lot of money, a lot of return that you're giving up by keeping cash in your drawer in the boss's office. So that means that would, with high ROIs, you're probably going to see that target going down. As a matter of fact, if you tested this little formula here, just put in maybe a 6%, an 8%, you would see it pushes this down, the target down, a little bit with everyone. I think I did 6%. I think it pushed it down by like about $400, $300, something like that. So it nudges it downward. And the last thing, the $1,000. The truth of the matter is that there are companies that just don't have any petty cash. The L is zero. That's not a particularly good idea because the question is, well, we've had this money in the drawer for like a month. It's never getting used. Well, that doesn't mean that it might not be used. The idea that you can zero this out, which some companies do, is not a very good idea because there could be an emergency. And if you don't have that money right there at the moment to get it out the door, you're in trouble. And I'll give you a specific example of that. Company in Peoria, it had a zero lower bound. This was about 3 years ago. Zero lower bound. Apparently, they had forgotten to pay, or something messed up in the system. They had not paid a bill. And they were called on the phone, we need you to pay us today. If you don't pay us, we're going to cut you off. You're off our list. We won't supply you anymore. It's just our policy. We won't supply you anymore. Well, their cash fluctuated, but it could get as low as zero. They were down there on cash that was available. It was not nearly enough to pay the bill. They scrambled through the day to move from heavy investments into the cash balance account. The best the bank could do is say, well, we can have it available for you at 8 a.m. Tomorrow morning. And they said, well, okay, I guess. And so they called up the supplier, one of their long-term suppliers, critical supplier. We can't get it to you today, but the bank says tomorrow, I'm sorry, our policy is you've got to pay us today. Well, we'll get it to you tomorrow morning. Well, that's nice, but we're cutting you off. As of today, it's over. And so they got the money 8 a.m. the next morning, paid the bill, but the supplier said, you're done. We don't need you anymore. We've got plenty of customers. Bye. And that company was damaged severely simply because it thought it didn't need cash on hand. That's all I have for you. Go home.